job you had at Frick School. Can you tell us something about the format for that school? It was not for underprivileged, necessarily for underprivileged.
No, although the majority of the children had to come from the Oakland area. Mm-hmm. But it was something that was funded by Frick. And it was part, I don't know if you remember the Belfield Vocational School.
No.
There was a Belfield Vocational School right in front of Frick School. And they would provide the lunches. It was really a throwback to, I mean, it was like a good childcare center because these children came every day from like 9 to 3:30. And it was just a very unique, wonderful program. And as I say, I taught there. I was hired as the assistant teacher to work with a woman by the name of Evelyn Rosenberg. And Evelyn and I both got married in November. She was much older than I was, and this was her first marriage. And her husband lived in Minneapolis, so in January she moved
Where
to
did he live?
Minneapolis.
Oh, my.
So she moved away.
Okay.
So then I became the head teacher.
Oh, wow.
So, and I was the head teacher there from January to the following January. And it was just a wonderful program.
Did you have an assistant?
Yes.
How many children?
I would say there were probably about 16 or 18 children.
Okay.
And they
came early? And
came early. They napped there every day. We had a nap room. The lunch came over from Belfield and so forth.
Why did they initiate this program? I still don't
It was
remember.
Like, well, I'm not
was
sure.
Was it a training program? Was
it was
a training school then?
It was part of training. Part of the Frick training program.
Okay.
And I was a little familiar with Frick School because I had done my student teaching there.
I see.
I did my student teaching in kindergarten and first grade. So I knew a lot of the staff there.
Right.
So it was kind of nice for me. But it was one of these special programs. And what happened that November was that they put to the voters of Pittsburgh, did they want to raise their school taxes,
mm-hmm.
a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was they were going to close kindergartens and all the extra things if people didn't vote to raise their taxes. Well, people didn't vote to raise their taxes.
They
people
didn't.
Don't vote to raise their taxes.
Ever.
Ever. So they threatened to close all the kindergartens in the city of Pittsburgh, but there was enough pressure to keep them open. But this particular program was closed, that it was going to be closed in January, which was really too bad. The kindergarten teachers, back then the kindergarten classes were huge. I think they had about 60 children in the kindergarten classes. You know, the kids would sit in a big circle,
right.
And
right.
Yeah, there were two.
50 kids to a first grade classroom.
Right.
That's my era now. Now I'm in school.
Right, right. And
there were a lot of kids.
Yeah, and the kindergarten grade. Teachers really weren't real happy with some of these children who came from the preschool because they were way ahead of the game.
And they challenged them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of bothered them a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Mm-hmm.
But so I was there a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
and I really had to close down the program,
aww.
Which was kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
But Larry had graduated law school
mm-hmm.
in the summer. He had taken the bar exam in September, or in August,
mm-hmm.
and he was from Uniontown, and he had kept getting deferred from the Army until he finished law school and until he took the bar exam,
mm-hmm.
and they were really down his tail to draft him. So his first draft date, I think, was either Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur,
right.
But they let him stay an extra week. And so then he went off and was drafted in...
this is during the Korean War?
Uh-huh. And so we moved out of our apartment. I moved back home with my parents, and he went into the service. But he had taken the D.C. bar. He was going to try to get a commission in the Judge Advocate General's Corps.
Right.
So actually, when they closed Frick School, I was really assigned to Colfax Kindergarten as
Were
a teacher,
you?
Which would have been a very, very nice assignment.
It would have been.
But instead,
he didn't work with Gladys Hershey's then.
Instead, because he then did get his commission, I left the city and we moved to Williamsburg, Virginia, where he went to Judge Advocate General's School. So we had some neat experiences there. To tell you one side story about Williamsburg, about Charlottesville. That's where we lived, in Charlottesville. I'm sorry. We went to visit Williamsburg with some of our friends that we had made there. And there were four couples of us that became very close friends. And the guys were all in Judge Advocate General schools, and the wives were just stayed home. We were just going to be there for 3 months. So one weekend, we all went to Williamsburg together, and we had the best time. And the couples' names, there were two Jewish couples and two non-Jewish couples, was Kaplan and Handmaker and O'Dwyer and O'Connor. About, I don't know how many years ago, 10, 12 years ago, Larry calls me up. He says, "Remember our friends Sandy and John O'Connor?" I said, "Sure." He says, "That's the Sandra Day O'Connor. She was one
oh,
of our
I don't believe it.
She was one oh. of our very close friends. And although she was already a lawyer, she wasn't doing anything while John was going to
Oh my God, is that amazing?
So Larry wrote John a letter congratulating him and Sandy on her appointment. And he wrote us back a letter. And we used to play a lot of charades.
Uh-huh.
And he said, Reagan appointed her because she was such a good charades player. Anyway, that's off the track.
Isn't
but
that amazing? That's a small
that's
world.
That's a small world.
Have you ever talked with her?
Yeah, actually, I was supposed to go to a meeting. Larry went to a meeting, and they were there. She was the speaker. I took sick right before. I couldn't go. I had a kidney stone at 10, and the doctor wouldn't let me go. And they invited Larry to this little party, and they called us from their suite on the phone, and I talked to her and everything.
That's great. That's nice.
So that's
what was she like?
She was like one of us.
Just a plain, ordinary woman.
We played bridge and charades and made lunch and dinner for our husbands and went to Williamsburg together. And
she wasn't trying to get a job or anything?
No, not
because it was all temporary.
It was only 3 months. And then at the end of that three-month period, because they were in the Judge Advocate General's Court, they could really choose, the guys could choose pretty much where they wanted to go. Probably one of the mistakes we made, the Dwyers and the O'Connors went overseas, and we hesitated to go overseas because it meant being gone 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And probably should have done it.
What, more interesting, you think, more exciting?
Yeah, well, we would have gotten to see all of
Europe. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah. Right,
yeah. And you would, and you probably told your children to do that. But
yeah, but
you
know. At the
and
time,
your kids did it.
If it were for a year, we probably would have done it. But 3 years seemed like a long time.
Seemed a long time
and
to young people.
You didn't jump on a plane and come home.
Right.
Or
people
Christmas.
Didn't come over to visit you like that. I mean, that
right.
was a big deal.
Yes.
So they went to Germany. And we went to the Pentagon. So we had a wonderful assignment.
You had a good time at the Pentagon?
Yeah,
anybody
it was at the Pentagon.
Ever had a good time at the
oh,
Pentagon?
Oh, it was fine. I mean, he was actually doing law work for officers. So it was like practicing law for him. And we lived in Arlington, Virginia. And I did get a job teaching second grade in Arlington.
Did you have to get certified for Virginia in some way, or did they just hired you?
Then it was easy to, I guess,
yeah,
get
they were short
jobs.
Of teachers, I think, at that time.
But you weren't allowed to teach if you were pregnant. And I got pregnant. And I said, I can still taste that chalk dust, because then I couldn't tell anyone what was the matter with me. But I think I just taught a semester. And then I had it really quick before I started to show. A little different than it is now.
Right, right.
And so our first child was born. We say he's a Virginia gentleman because he was born at the Fort Belvoir Army Hospital.
Tell us about you.
His name and that's
his
when
name,
he was born.
Thomas Ross Kaplan. And he was born May 14th, 1955.
When were you married? What year?
We were married 52.
52.
Mm-hmm. So, 3 years. But I couldn't get married before Larry had a job. But the Army, I mean, it was a great experience. And he was making some money, so I could afford not to work. I don't know, maybe he was making $4,000, maybe that much, I don't know. And so we finished, we were there, and Tommy was about, I guess, 2.5 mm-hmm. when Larry's tour duty was up. And then we had to decide what we were going to do then.
Right.
We thought about staying in the Washington, D.C. area because I had an aunt and uncle who lived there, and we liked it.
It's an exciting city.
We really liked there, but we ended up coming back to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard. I was pregnant again, mm-hmm. so I couldn't get a job. And it was very hard for lawyers to find jobs then.
I would think.
So we moved back to the city and had one child and one on the way, and Larry had to figure out, and he had we knew a lot of people who were lawyers, and they were very happy to take him into his office, but he would have to, you know, no guarantees of income. So he took a job as a trust officer for the Western Pennsylvania National Bank, mm-hmm. and which was headquartered in McKeesport.
You went to McKeesport?
No, we bought a house on Hastings Street. Mm-hmm. 3 minutes from Linden School.
Do you know the address?
No, 637 Hastings
Street. Okay.
And he would commute.
But he worked in McKeesport.
He worked in McKeesport.
Okay.
And he actually had family in McKeesport. Larry's father and his uncle were both dentists.
Uh-huh.
His uncle stayed in McKeesport, and his father moved to Uniontown, uh-huh. to Brownsville.
Oh, I have family in Brownsville.
Terrible place. So, anyway, unfortunately, Larry didn't want to go back to Uniontown. Anyway, so he worked at the bank, I think, for 10 years.
What did he do there?
He was a trust officer.
That meant he helped people with their investments?
He did wills, probate, you know.
Tax things that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll leave it. Uh-huh. And so those were, you know,
the days.
The nice days. And then
what about your second child?
She was born Ellen Terry Kaplan.
Ellen Terry.
Ellen Terry. T-E-R-I.
Okay.
Kaplan. And it's interesting because she's now Ellen Terry Kaplan Goldstein.
She's reverting back.
She went back. She married someone whose last name was now Goldstein. And that was my mother's maiden name. So she was born May 1st, 1957. And
you have two children?
Three.
Yeah. So can you tell us about number three?
Well, John, we waited a while for John. John was born 1962, May 25th.
It's something about
May. My brother and I both have May birthdays too.
Is that right? That's mm-hmm. your month.
Mm-hmm. It's a great month.
It is a great month. My grandson was born May 25th.
Oh, same day as John.
I think maybe what we'll do, if it's okay with you, is go on with your career and finish that, and then get back to your children and so on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have time? Because we can come.
We have 17 minutes left this hour.
Okay.
And then can we come back?
Sure.
For a second interview?
Because
I think we'll have to, Natalie.
Okay.
If it's okay with you.
Fine. You know, I love telling my story.
Yeah. So, all right. So then you were home with the children for a while your husband was working in McKeesport.
Right.
Okay.
And when my daughter Ellen was 2 years old,
mm-hmm.
a friend of mine, by name Esther Olson. Esther?
Sure.
Well, actually, it's interesting because Esther and I did our student teaching together at our school, and we kept in touch.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I borrowed her wedding gown.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's really keeping in touch.
Yeah, we kept in touch. My daughter wore the same one. But we kept in touch, and she was teaching nursery school. I think she taught 5 mornings a week at the First Unitarian Church. So she called me one day and May, April, May, I don't know. And she said they're going to be looking for a teacher to teach 3 afternoons in the fall. Do you think you might be interested? I said, sounds interesting. What do I know? So I went down for the interview to the first Unitarian Church, and they hired me for this job. Mm-hmm. Well, this was like in May. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I hadn't really thought a lot about it during the summer, although I had enrolled Tommy in the temple nursery school.
Right.
So he was going to be going to nursery school. When I found out about this job, they had an afternoon program, so he could go 5 afternoons from like 1 to...
When you were working, he would be across,
he would be there.
Practically across
right.
the street.
And I could drive him down right. and drop him off. What was I going to do with Ellen? She usually napped this whole time. So we had a handyman who worked for us, and said, do you know anyone who might want to come in and help out? And baby said, he says, oh, I think I know someone. So he sent us this woman, and she worked like September and October, and then she came and she said that she really liked it fine, but someone offered her a job taking care of an elderly person, and she could make a lot more money. But she'd send her daughter to come and work for her. And her daughter was my age and had kids. So she would come in the 3 afternoons while Ellen would sleep and be there, and we really became pretty close. And then I think it was in March, she decided she didn't want to work anymore. She says, but I'll get you my next-door neighbor. And her next-door neighbor came and worked for me for the next 25 years.
Did she?
Mm-hmm. And really, like, became part of the family. She worked the 3 days in the afternoons. And then I continued to work in the afternoons even while John was born, because it worked out well. Mm-hmm. Then at one point, Esther decided to pursue a new career.
She went into business.
She went into real estate.
Oh, real estate, right.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of took over the program.
Well, the first Unitarian.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I, by then, I think John was kindergarten or first grade. Mm-hmm. And so I worked 5 mornings instead.
Oh, so you didn't work in the afternoon?
Then. Or some. And I did all the administrative. I became the director, and I did all the administrative stuff at home. So I worked there for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. And it was a perfect job. But I was probably one of the first women in my generation to go to work. Mm-hmm. Because most women weren't really working. In my mother's generation, I think people helped their husbands in business.
That's
so
why
we
worked, probably. And my mother worked with my father, and I worked. After my kids were kind of grown, I went back to school and got a master's degree in honor. And it was not that many women did it.
Right. And so, but it was my main thought and consideration was always my children.
Sure.
But I was able to work professionally. And people said, well, why do you want to go out and work with children when you have children? This is, it's different. You meet with a parent, you... It was very different.
Right.
And it was when I was at Morewood that your daughter, Mimsy, was also in child development.
Oh, okay.
And was one of my students there.
Oh, okay. I know she's known you forever, but I did
that's
not
how
know.
That's how we first met. Right. And we've been involved professionally ever since then.
Is that right?
And I have a lot of respect for your daughter.
Thank you. I know she has a lot of respect for you, a lot of it. Thank you. Did Margaret McFarland start the Louise Child Care Center? Was she part of that? No, she wasn't.
Every step of the way, before I did anything, I would always talk to Margaret.
To get advice on
certain things. And she would come and speak to our parents at some point. And we always, weren't real close, but we always kept in touch.
Mm-hmm.
But Louise Child Care is probably, it's an older agency. It's been around for a long time. And originally it just worked with I think children who were in more needy children.
Right.
Right. Which I would have guessed happened at Frick, but that was not the case.
No. It was a different. And it's always been a respect. I mean, they always had a lot of people.
Yeah, I thought because Goody Ross sent their, Goody and Bernie Ross sent their son Richard there.
Oh, really?
And I thought I thought Margaret McFarlane.
She may have been on their board or
maybe
been involved
so.
With it.
Or she may have said that would be a good place for him. I thought mm-hmm. she had helped found it. Anyway, you were there for 15 years.
I was there for 15 years, and it was while I was there that I realized that 3 mornings a week or 2 mornings a week or 3 afternoons a week really was starting not to meet the needs of a lot of the middle-income families that were there. I had one particular woman, and I'm sure she wouldn't mind if I quoted her here because she's involved in council, Lois Blaufield. Anyway, her little boy came to our center, and she had started a profession and a job. And she would bring him in the morning, mm-hmm. take him home for lunch, and bring him back in the afternoon. And it was at that point I went back and I talked to Dr. McFarland and I said, you know, I would really like to see if we could do something so that these children could have a longer day in the center. And here's where National Council of Jewish Women comes in. This is very interesting. Ruth Lieber at the time was president of the National Council, and I've always been very involved. I mean, I work, but that was like my favorite women's organization other than Temple Sisterhood,
where
I also taught Sunday school, as I said, for 20 years. I mean, because it was, to me, it was important. I went to Sunday school with my kids. Larry even taught them. So it made it like a family affair. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't one of these families who just dropped the kids off and weren't involved.
Yeah, you were a part of
it. We were involved with it. And I was on the board of the Temple Nursery School also. I worked. My two mentors there that I worked so closely with were Jane Strasburger and Claire Arnheim.
Oh, they founded that school. Right. I was on the committee that helped to found it.
Right.
Yeah, because I had sent Mimsy to Shadyside Presbyterian, and then they fired the Jewish teacher when they learned it.
Well, of course, the story they always told me was that the minister from Shadyside Presbyterian went to Dr. Freehoff and said, look, there are all these Jewish children who are taking up the places at Shadyside. Why don't you think of starting a preschool at Temple?
They had a Jewish teacher there named Semino, Mrs. Semino. Oh. And when Yom Kippur came and she wanted to take time off and they found out she was Jewish, they let her go. So we all took our children out.
And then sent them to Temple.
Well, that's when they started it, and that's why they called. They asked me to
be
on the committee.
Yeah. So I was on the committee. I was chair of that committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel badly because they're both gone, and Claire passed away last week while I was out of town, so I didn't even...
Terrible what happened to those two really terrific women.
Oh, they were great. I spent a lot of time at meetings with them and everything.
They were wonderful.
Wonderful people. But... I talked to Dr. McFarlane, and of course back then they weren't real excited about kids being away from their parents, even three-year-olds, for that long a time period. But she encouraged me, and I went to Ruth Lieber because we needed some funding to do this. And National Council of Jewish Women was going to take this on as a project.
Oh boy.
To start this first Fuller Day program for 3 and 4 year olds. And we were getting everything kind of geared up and worked on. And that was in what year? That was probably 1973. And there was a lot of turmoil, but this was the time in education where there was just all kinds of stuff going on. And what happened at the Unitarian Church is, I'm not even sure what happened, but they got a new group of people who were heading up the preschool. And they called me in one day during the summer, And they said, I did a fine job. But they kind of wanted someone else to take on the program. Well, obviously, I was very upset. I mean, you know.
Oh, my.
And I had this.
How long were you there?
15 years.
Oh, my God.
But these were all new people.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because I had had a great relationship with all the past chairmen.
Sure.
In fact, it's interesting. Tina Schron, whose children I taught at Morewood, then came in and helped me at Morewood do some of the administrative work and so forth. And then after we were here at the Carriage House, she came back to work for me.
Is that right?
Has been still here. But anyway, so I was upset. And I called Ruth on the phone, and I told her what had happened. And she said, well, you know, we made it. What the commitment wasn't with you. It was with the Morewood Children's School. And I guess we'll just have to kind of go along with it and so forth. So I think she called me back a couple months later and said, we couldn't work with those people. There was just no
way. And justified.
Yeah.
And you must have felt better.
Well, yeah. But I felt badly.
Sure.
So in the meantime, I went back to Dr. McFarland and I told her what happened and what should I do. And she said, well, you know, you ought to go to Chatham College. Chatham has the most beautiful college, and they have no preschool, no nursery school, nothing on campus. So I took her word, and I started negotiating. I'm talking to them about it.
Were they interested right off?
You know, I kept getting the runarounds. But I mean, I knew Dr. Eddy, who was then the president of the college, because our kids had gone to Linden School together. So I started talking to him, and then he put me in touch with someone else, and then with someone else, and it just took a long time to get it going. But I talked a lot to them, you know, and it was at that time they were starting what they called their gateway program.
I remember for women
who were over 25 who wanted to go back to school.
Right.
So I think in part of their mind it was kind of a good match.
Right. It was the timing was right.
The timing was right. But we negotiated for Park School or Park Place School, which isn't there anymore, over in Regent Square on Braddock Avenue.
I'm not familiar with it.
Because one of the teachers there was going in for back surgery.
Is that a public? It's a public.
It was. Yes,
what grade would you be? Were you in the elementary school, by the way?
Yeah. What?
2 minutes, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Let me say.
All right. So, yeah, it was an elementary school, and I taught kindergarten. I would never sub above third grade.
I see. Okay.
And subbing was a wonderful experience.
Uh-huh.
And then by the end of that time, I was debating what to do. I was offered a job teaching for the following year at the Fox Chapel Country Day School kindergarten, because I had a friend there. But I was waiting to see what Chatham was going to do. And I think it was finally in May that they said that we could go ahead and do it.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
And they gave us all the parameters. We had to set it up as a nonprofit organization. They would want people on their board, but they wouldn't want to pay the staff. And so they set all the guidelines. And we met in June for the first time, June of 1974, to start what has since become the Carriage House.
When did the school open?
In September of 1974.
You started in June and then organize, and it opened in 1974. Would this be a good time?
Yeah, I think
to
this
stop,
would be a good time.
And
to
then
stop.
We'll come back. If
okay.
We may. Oh, Natalie, this is terrific.
Oh, well, I'm enjoying, you know, it's like telling some of your life stories.
No.